Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives. This is Ashley Burgess. Beautiful Sunday night. And joining us this evening is Ashley Roberts from CW33. She has a show called DFW Close-Up, and she also is a reporter for CW33 and one of my good friends. Good evening, Ashley. How are you doing?
Hey, Ash. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Of course. Hey, thanks for having me on again. I love talking with you, whether it's my show or your show.
I love it. And your show is awesome. And I love being on your show as well. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about DFW Close Up?
Well, of course, and I would love to. So DFW Close Up, it airs on CW 33, and it's its own show. So it's its community affairs program. So we talk about any topic that would benefit the Dallas-Fort Worth community. And so, you know, that's anything from charitable fundraisers to just events going on in the community. Like most recently, we talked about Addison Oktoberfest. We've talked about Taste of Dallas, the Tulasoma South Dallas Book Fair. Sometimes I do theme shows. You know, you were just on one, Ashley, where we talked about everything back to school. So tax-free weekend, what we should know, school trends. You talked about how to deal with back-to-school stress. So anything that people would find interesting but yet would take away something informative from it as well. So sometimes we even do medical segments. For instance, I had someone on from UT Southwestern Medical Center talk about how to prevent getting West Nile virus, or, you know, what Parkinson's disease is, signs and symptoms we should look for, what lupus is. So it's very informative and maybe something that you don't always get from just regular newscasts. So I really enjoy hosting it and having different people on and talking about all the great fundraisers and events and information we need to know and should know in our community.
Now, I think that's great. I love your show, and I appreciate being on it because it really does go a deeper level, I think, than, you know, you find for the majority, because it really hits the DFW area. It really hits the community, as well as it really explores topics. So it's not just that little,
sure,
you know, tidbit of information. You get to understand kind of the perimeter of what you're talking about, you know?
Right. So, you know, and it's a 30-minute show. It airs once a week, and that's on Sundays from 7 to 7:30 a.m. So I usually have about 4 guests on per show, and that gives everyone some pretty good time to talk about their subject matter, you know, about 6 minutes. And that's a lot longer than just a straight reporter story in the newscast. And I love people that come on and they're able to talk about what they're passionate about, and I get to share that with everyone else, and it gives them much more time to do so. Even 6 minutes flies by, but it gives them much more time to discuss whatever that might be. And there are always different shows, and yes, like I said, sometimes themed, which sometimes, you know, that topic or subject matter is something people are really interested in, so hopefully keep them interested in watching for the entire show. But I enjoy it, and I enjoy having returning guests such as you, Ashley, because you sure are experts on what you all discuss.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, I hate to change gears now, but I'd like to talk. You've been doing a lot of reporting for CW33 as well, and your show is amazing, but you've been doing some hard-hitting reporting. Can you tell us about maybe one or two recent reports that you've done that you thought really just, you know, something that you really were passionate about, you know, telling?
Well, sure. I think it is the most recent report that I did was about the city of Forney. And it was about a lifelong resident who passed away back in 2006. But he was a millionaire, and he left the city $3 million but the stipulation was they were in his trust fund, and the stipulation was, hey, this has to go to something that has to do with the Parks and Recs Department. So what the mayor and what city council had chosen to do was to build an amphitheater called the Spellman Amphitheater. This man's name was Mick Spellman, lived in Forney all his life. And so that amphitheater is about to have its grand opening. So I went out there and met with the mayor, and he told me all about this story, about how back in 2006 he received a surprise phone call saying, hey, guess what? The city of Forney gets $3 million to go towards its Parks and Rec department. And he just kind of took me through all that, what they did with the money, and I got to see the amphitheater. And it was just beautiful. You can just see how families would come out there and really enjoy this new venue. So to get to tell stories like that was really neat. And, you know, Forney, I actually never been out to Forney before, and it's a really neat city. And I actually got to meet the family that currently resides in the former Spellman house. So that was really neat. I got to actually go inside and see the room that he was told to be born in. And the lady who lives there said that she had never met him before, but had seen him walking around and hear stories from the neighbors. So it was just one of those feel-good stories that you don't always get from the news these days, but it's such a pleasure to get to report on when you get the opportunity to do so. So I really enjoyed reporting on that one. It just shows you that even in this crazy world we live in, good things still do happen.
It's definitely awesome. Everybody likes to hear good stories, and I think there's really not enough of that out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Switching gears, though, kind of another story I recently reported on was, I don't know if you heard about this, Ashley, but there was a Cleburne woman who sued the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-mm, no, 2 years, I
don't know. And Jerry Jones, yes, 2 years after. There's, outside of the stadium, there's some marble benches. And so apparently in the summer, 2 years ago, she sat down on them, and it burned her posterior pretty significantly to where she had to have skin grafts.
Oh, my
well,
gosh.
Well, of course, you know, we reached out to her to try and, you know, get her side of the story and why she's decided to sue now, two years later. And we reached out to Dallas Cowboys, who said, we're aware of the situation but have no comment. So we didn't get to talk to her. She denied us an interview. But we just went out and talked to people on the street, and, you know, I couldn't find one person that was on her side or in her favor. Everyone's kind of like, that's ridiculous, you know, especially 2 years later, step up to the plate and realize you chose to sit on that, and you're the one that kind of burned your own bottom. So that was kind of a interesting story, and to see everyone else's perspective on it. And I kept looking for someone who might be on Team Cleburne Woman who had her bottom burned, but couldn't do it. A lot of people just said it's one of those frivolous lawsuits that you can't get very far with.
Well, that's actually kind of good, I guess, that you couldn't find a lot of people that were defending that, because, you know, a lot of times nowadays everybody wants to get on the bandwagon to do lawsuits, and so sometimes it's good not to find everybody that feels like they should be suing everybody.
Well, exactly. And one woman, I think she just really hit home with it. She said, and of course, had we had the opportunity to visit the Cleburne woman, she would have gone to tell her side of the story. But one woman said, you know, I just think it's ridiculous, because if that's the case and she has the ability to sue someone over this, like, we could just be suing anyone for anything. I bought high heels and I twisted my ankle. I'm going to sue that company, you know? So I think that's a really valid point as well.
I agree. I heard a story today. It was about some people that were denied buying a home. I'm like, you can sell your home to anybody. You don't have to sell it to, you can choose whoever you want. You can't just sue somebody randomly because they won't sell you their home.
Right. You know, I mean, it's a crazy world that we do live in, and, you know, but I'm glad I get the chance to be a reporter and report on a lot of the stuff, because it's really quite interesting and opens my eyes to new things, ideas, people, mindsets, thoughts every single day, pretty much.
Yeah, and I love having you as a reporter, because I love listening to you. I love seeing you on TV. I think that you always give the right perspective. And, you know, right now...
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, let's kind of dive right in. Let's dive right in on some ideas tonight. Actually, on the phone, we also have Fred Friedman. He's also calling in with his perspective, a native of New York, Long Island, and living in Fort Worth now, married with children, and a real estate manager and broker. He's going to chime in on some comments here as well with regards to scenario one. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. So the first is, for all our listeners and for everybody, picture this, okay? You're driving, you know, down the street. It's busy, busy intersection.
Okay.
And, you know, you see the light's about to turn red, and it turns red. And for all purposes on this show, you see a homeless individual standing in the center of the intersection, and they have a cardboard sign. There's writing on it. And you pull up in the adjacent lane next to that individual. I know some people would have probably maybe seen it ahead of time and maybe completely avoided the experience because they don't want to deal with it. But let's just say for, you know, the ability to speak in the show. So let's say you pull into the lane next to the homeless individual there at the intersection. You have the red light. Okay, so what's your perspective on this? Do you look for money, you know, with the intent of finding money to give to this person? Do you give money? Do you not give money, Ashley? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I deal with this quite frequently, and I really, you know, a lot of people I think will be driving and they'll see the homeless person straight ahead, because it's especially like on the service roads, you know, when you just exited the highway, particularly in Dallas. And I don't try to avoid it, especially my first thought, because I see this all the time, is, do I have any food in the car? Like, what can I give them? Because obviously if they're homeless or asking for work or money, they're hungry. So my first thought is, do I have food? What do I have left over? Do I have a banana? Anything that I can give them, because that would be my way to contribute. Because it honestly, each and every time, and a lot of the homeless people that I see, it's the same faces. It really breaks my heart, and it gives you a reality check real quickly, how blessed that you are in life, and to not take anything for granted, because who knows, that could be you someday. So I try to give them food if I have that, because certainly they have to be hungry. If I have money, or a lot of times I don't carry cash on me, I do give that to them if that's like a second resort. But sometimes I worry. A lot of times you hear homeless people might have a drug or alcohol problem, and I'd rather them not spend cash on that. So if I can avoid it, I don't want to give that to them. I don't want them to make the wrong decision with it, and because certainly there's shelters and places out there that can help them. So I feel, you know, I can understand if people are uncomfortable with the situation and pulling up to them and thinking, oh my gosh, are they going to jump in my car? Are they going to do something to me? But, you know, other people are around you usually for the most part. I would say maybe not in the middle of the night. You don't want to do that with a stranger, but if it's daylight, you have food on you, roll down your window if you're at the stoplight, like give them a muffin, give them whatever you have. You can be hungry for a little snack in the meantime, because I feel like that's kind of doing your part to give back to someone else who certainly needs that help. I try to do it every single time.
That's lovely. That's really good thinking. Fred, what do you think about this subject?
Well, sometimes I'm skeptical on whether or not they're even homeless, to be honest with you. I do not avoid them, but if I'm feeling like I got some extra money or something that I can give them, I will give them some money. Sometimes I wonder if they're going to use it for drugs or alcohol, which, you know, that's kind of detrimental to their health. And if I do have any food, like an apple or something, I'll give that to them or offer it to them. But a lot of times they don't even want food. It seems like they really just want money for for whatever. So and sometimes I'm curious, like, how much they actually make a day doing that. I'm just, you know, out of the curiosity. And basically, If I want to give them anything, you know, money or whatever, I'll roll down the window and I'll give them eye contact. And if I don't want to, if I'm not in the mood or I just don't have anything to offer, I'll just kind of ignore them. So not to lead them on, I guess. And I wonder, as far as, you know, how they got in that situation, you know, if they're really giving up on getting a job. And it also reminds me of, you know, how blessed I am to have a job and a house. So, a lot of stuff goes through your head and, you know, within a minute of time. So, anyway, that's kind of my perspective. I appreciate you inviting me on to this call.
Oh, well, no, I'm glad to have you. You know, both of y'all gave two different types of perspectives, which I liked. There's parts of all that I see kind of within myself. There's a lot of things. You know, one of the questions I was going to ask you, let's just say for cinnamon, Ashley, if you know, when you give a food or if you had to last resort, you said you would give money if it was last resort. You normally don't carry it on you, but if you did and you didn't have a muffin or you didn't have banana or whatever in your car, in that situation, when you roll down the window and you give it to him, do you usually have a conversation with the individual? Do you kind of just pass it along and, you know, God bless? Or how do you kind of function from that?
Yeah, you know, usually it's just so quickly that, you know, the light's about to turn green or whatever the case may be that I roll my window down. And I just might be like, hi, like, here I have a Nutri-Grain bar, or, like, here's a couple dollars, you know. And then they usually are the ones that are like, thank you so much, like, God bless you. And then you're just like, oh, my gosh, and the light turns green, and you just kind of carry on. So, no, I've never really had a conversation with anyone. I would say probably more just because of time permitting. Also, you know, I'd rather keep it short and sweet because I feel like I kind of get emotionally tied to people and want to hear their story and just the journalist in me. But it's hard to see that. You know, I think Fred does make a good point, though. Sometimes it's just cool, like, are they really homeless? What are they doing? Because I've heard crazy stories where people make 30, 40 grand a year just sitting out hoping for tips and that sort of thing. And I think that's another reason why I try to give them food if I have it also, because you just never know. But every time I've given food, they're just very grateful for it and really seem to be hungry. So, you know, that's kind of what happens when I encounter that. And I kind of almost encounter it on a daily.
No, me too. Mostly almost every day. And it's sometimes the only thing I have a problem with is that, you know, when I do find money or food or whatever, and I normally have a conversation, and then at that point, if the light's really extra long, do you continue the conversation or do you not? But at the same point in time, what time do you roll up the window? That's okay. I mean, do you wait till the light turns green and then you put the window up? Or, you know, some people don't really understand how to do that, because if they give money or whatever, then they kind of just feel responsible to put the window up immediately. It's kind of, you know, what's the etiquette on donating to the homeless on the street?
I think it's your own personal preference. I think if you're donating food or money or whatever the case may be, you know, you've already shown you have a kind heart and you're giving back. So if you feel you want to be like, okay, thank you, or, you know, God bless you, and you want to roll up your window, I think that's just fine, because you've helped them in some way, shape, or form. And sometimes I just kind of let them follow the lead. Like, they'll come up to the car, grab it, and just say, thank you, God bless. You can kind of tell they're moving on to the next car or just moving forward. So sometimes you just let them take the lead. So I think it's just whatever you're comfortable with.
And you both voiced that you know, you both feel blessed. Fred, you were saying that, you know, when you do see these situations, no matter what, even if you wonder if it's drugs or what have you, or maybe they have a lot of whatever money, you still feel blessed. So is that the case that when you see that, you kind of say, oh, you step back and you consciously are aware of maybe your situation in life?
Absolutely. And as far as rolling up the window in Texas, you know, it's most of the time it's over 100 degrees. So you typically want to roll up that window anyway, you know, just to get the AC back in. But, yeah, I'm more apt to do that, too, actually, when I'm on my own, and not when I have family in car, just for security purposes and my kids. But you never know. There's a lot of crazy people out there. So I just kind of go with how I feel at the time and the circumstances of the moment on whether I give them money or not, or that type of thing. But yeah, I mean, growing up in New York, I grew up in Long Island, and it was kind of residential. But when I went to visit the city, I got to see a whole different perspective of how people treat people. And, there's a lot of panhandlers up there. So you got to walk down the street, and you don't want to give them eye contact. So that's one of the rules you learn walking in the city. I don't know if you've been through that, but I just wanted to share that with you.
And that's awesome. I love it. I love it. So y'all, if you don't mind holding on, Fred and Ashley, because later in the hour, we got the JPC Minute. We also got Out and About with Cynthia Smoot, and don't miss the upcoming scenarios that Ashley Roberts and Fred Friedman will be talking and discussing. And we'll be back from this break in just a few minutes. So in the process, you can do anything. If you're in the car, keep driving. You can stop for gas. You can stop for food. If you're at home listening on your computer, you can get a drink. You can go to the bathroom. Anything you really want to do. We will be right back with you in just 2 minutes. Thank you.